Translation: I do not endeavour to get anything, but am satisfied with whatever is achieved in its own way. If I do not get anything, I am patient and unagitated like a python, and lie down in this way for many days. Purport: One should learn detachment from the bumblebees, for they collect drops of honey here and there and keep it in their honeycomb. But then someone comes and by force takes all the honey away, leaving the bumblebees with nothing. Therefore one should learn from the bumblebee not to keep more money than one needs. Similarly, one should learn from the python to stay in one place for many, many days without food, and then eat only if something comes in its own way. Thus the learned Brahman gave instructions gained from two creatures, namely the bumblebee and the python. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasme shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse is from the chapter called The Behavior of a Perfect Person. And it's the instructions of Narada Muni to King Yudhisthira about Varnashram. And this chapter in particular is instructions for the fourth order of life, sannyas. And he recounts here how Prahlad Maharaj met with a saintly person who was observing the behavior of a python. This is called Ajagara Vritti. It means just like a python, it's a very lazy creature. He just lies down in one place and he doesn't make any endeavor to get food. But the python is also very capable of killing its prey because it wraps itself around its prey and crushes it. It's a very powerful creature. But it doesn't actually make any endeavor to go around and look for prey. He just waits. He just waits for whatever comes and then eats. And so this example is followed. This for a certain way of behaving for a sannyas in the Paramahamsa stage of life. So there are four orders of sannyas. Kutichak is the first order, means that the when the man leaves home and but he stays near his home, just outside his village, in a little cottage, and he still gets food brought to him from his family. And then the next stage is Bahudak, where he actually leaves altogether, and he goes around begging. And then the third stage is Parivrajakacharya, where the sannyasi, he travels, and he gets whatever comes his way. People give donation. People feed him. He goes around from place to place preaching. And the highest order of sannyas is Paramahamsa. and this is this order is actually transcendental to all the regulative principles. So some Paramahamsas, they are preachers and they travel and preach, and others are like in this example, they just stay in one place and they accept whatever comes to them. Jad Bharat, he actually performed this kind of austerity, is described in the story of Jad Bharat, that he was just staying in one place, and his body was very dirty, and he would, even though he was very, very advanced in Krishna consciousness, he would behave like as if he was mad and dumb, or like a child. People would actually go and just throw things at him, and he wouldn't say anything. And in that way he lived his life. But he was very, very deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, completely detached from human society, from material life. Similarly, Madhavendra Puri, although he was not doing the Python austerity, but he also followed the same principle of not eating unless something was given to him. So he would travel as a sannyasi, and he would just fast, and only if someone brought something to him, then he would eat. He would not make any endeavor to find something to eat. And that's why that beautiful story is there, that when he went to Vrindavan, he was sitting down as usual without eating, and a cowherd boy came to him and brought him some milk, and that was actually Krishna himself. So this kind of austerity is really only for devotees. In fact, it's described in one of the previous verses or purports that the Paramahamsa stage is only for Vaishnavas, only for those who worship Krishna as a person, Bhagavan. It's not for Mayavadis. One who actually completely surrenders to the Lord and depends on the Supreme Lord to provide for him, then he must be a Vaishnava, because it's a very personal kind of relationship, personal realization. A Mayavadi is not going to expect the Supreme Brahman to come and provide anything for him, because there is no personal conception there. There's no personal relationship there. So the activity of surrender, of full surrender, Sharanagati, that's described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is for pure devotees. It's for devotees to surrender to Krishna and to have full faith that he will provide everything that one needs. So this person, this saintly person who was following the behavior of a python, he would accept whatever came to him. So if nothing came to him, he would just lie down in the dust. But sometimes someone would take him into their house and feed him very nicely and give him a very nice bed to sleep on. Then he would also accept that. So he wasn't even attached to being a python. He was just surrendered to whatever Krishna provided. And the Paramahamsa stage is described as being above the regulative principles. So it's the highest stage of the highest order of life. So when a devotee reaches that stage, he's not obliged to observe any regulative principles. So sometimes he lives in poverty, sometimes he lives in opulence. It doesn't really make any difference to him, because he's not attached to the body, and he's not attached to any kind of material enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada, he once said that in Mayapur, that you know, because he was very, very happy in his bhajan kutir in Mayapur. When you go to Mayapur now, the first building you will see inside the front gate is Srila Prabhupada's original bhajan kutir. Of course, it's being maintained, but that's the original place where Srila Prabhupada sat down and chanted. And so he said that we can sit down and chant and be very happy, but then nobody will come. So for the sake of preaching, we build a temple. So now a beautiful, huge city is being constructed in Mayapur for the sake of preaching. So a devotee can accept opulence, or he can just sit down anywhere and chant a renounced devotee. So this whole, quite a few chapters in this seventh canto are dedicated to Varnashram, describing all the different, the four orders, the four social orders, the four spiritual orders, and all the instructions for all of these people. And so this is it's a gradual process, because obviously we, at least speaking for myself, are not on the stage of being able to just sit down in the dust and wait for whatever comes. So it's a gradual process, and whether we are in the brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or any of the four spiritual orders, the ultimate purpose of Varnashram is to develop detachment. So this is done, whichever ashram we are in, there are different ways of doing that. Even though we feel that we're nowhere near this kind of stage, of course, but hearing about it is important, and understanding it, because it's a gradual process, and there are little things that we can each do in our own lives to gradually come to the stage of detachment. Even Sudama Brahman, he was a householder, but he was actually completely detached as well, and he never made any endeavor to get anything to eat. And he and his wife, they were almost starving. And when he went to Krishna, and then Krishna actually gave them great opulence. So they went from poverty to opulence, and Sudama Brahman was not affected. He just used everything in Krishna's service, and he was completely happy, either in poverty or in opulence, which illustrates the fact that even in Grihastha Ashram, one can attain that kind of detachment. Though, of course, Sudama Brahman is a very rare, elevated soul. But that example is there. But it's described in I think it's the next chapter, which is about family life. And it's described that the grihastha should develop detachment internally. Externally, he should appear to be very attached. And whatever suggestions are made to him by friends or family, he should agree with them and say, yes, yes, it's very nice. But internally, he should be determined to develop detachment, and to not become too much entangled in material life. So it's at every stage. The development of detachment begins with brahmacharya. The idea is to learn to control the senses. So this begins in brahmacharya life. And And it's there in every stage that that we are supposed to be learning how to control our senses and develop detachment. I shouldn't really be talking about this because I'm completely unqualified in this area, but I'm transmitting the teachings of these sacred scriptures and Srila Prabhupada, and trying to understand how we can all aspire to becoming detached. And actually, as devotees, we can understand, although Varnashram is for everyone, but as Vaishnavas understand that the only real way to develop detachment is by becoming attached to Krishna, because unless that attachment is there, the real detachment can never actually take place. And there are many examples there of that as well, like Vishvamitra Muni. He was a great yogi and performing severe austerities for like 1,000 years or something, and then just from hearing the ankle bells of Menaka, he fell down because he was not Krishna conscious. But Haridas Thakur, even though he was from a Muslim family and he was an outcast from Hindu society, but because he was so advanced in chanting, because he was just chanting the Hare Krishna mantra from morning till night, he was not affected by any kind of temptation. When the prostitute came to him, he didn't get disturbed. He was even tempted by Maya Devi herself, and he didn't get disturbed. So from this we can understand that it's only by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and by developing Krishna consciousness, by becoming attached to Krishna, then we can become detached from sense gratification. So this is a gradual process. It's hard work for all of us as conditioned souls, but this is the essential truth, and this is the only safe path for us to follow. Whichever ashram one is in, we can learn from this saintly person who is speaking here. There's no name given for him, but it can be understood that he was a great devotee, that he was fully Krishna conscious, because only a Krishna conscious person could live in this way. The Mayavadis, they also perform great austerity, actually very great austerity, but in the end it's described that even if they attain liberation by merging into Brahman, eventually they have to come down again. That's described by Lord Brahma in the 10th canto, that they have to come back down to the material world because they don't have that attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna. So that unless we develop that attachment, then we can't really make advancement in sense control. And that's why many of us are struggling in this way, because of our material conditioning, and because we've been in this material world for so many lifetimes. And for us to perform austerity, it's very, very difficult. In Kali Yuga, no one wants to perform austerity. So how do we come? How do we become detached? How do we advance in spiritual life? For that we need a lot of mercy, and we need a lot of support from each other, association of devotees, hearing and chanting together with devotees, and developing the six loving exchanges of revealing our hearts to each other in confidence. Because it's no use for us to try and pretend to be advanced. We need to be really honest about who we are and where we are. And that's what Vanashram means. It means to be honest about our position. Accept whatever position is most suitable for us. And in this way, advance gradually. So that's why four ashrams are there. Some people may be able to observe brahmacharya for their whole life, and that's a very glorious thing. But those souls are rare. They are the rare few. So most of us need to follow all the ashrams in order to get purified and to make spiritual advancement. So in this way, we need to be very honest and accept whatever position is most suitable, so that we can make tangible advancement in Krishna consciousness, rather than trying to advance very quickly and then falling back down again. So we have to be patient and go step by step, keep in association of devotees, chant our rounds every day diligently, try to improve our chanting, read Srila Prabhupada's books, keep engaged in devotional service, and be true to ourselves. And in this way we can gradually make real advancement, in the sense that we can become closer to Krishna, that we can feel the presence of Krishna in our lives, in our activities. Even if we're not very expert at performing austerity, even if we're not very expert in philosophy, but if we honestly engage in Krishna's service and follow the orders of the Guru, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshma Hanuman, Jai Shri Shri Gonitai. If we just try to be humble devotees and look for our anattas, because if we are looking for some position, looking for some recognition, some prestige, all these are anattas to be given up because they are all obstacles. This saintly personality who was living like a python, he had no desire for any position, any prestige, any material opulence, no desire for anything. And that's why he was living in this way. And it's not that we have to live in this way. Even those who are sannyasis in our movement, they're not required to live in this way because they are preaching. And the main business for ISKCON devotees is preaching. And for those who become sannyasis, preaching is the most important activity. So our sannyasis, they can accept anything that they need as long as it's used for preaching. And Srila Prabhupada, he set this example as well of traveling around in airplanes and sannyasis, they can use all the modern technology for the purposes of preaching. So they're not required to sit in one place or roll around in the dust or behave like dumb and madmen, because the most important business that Srila Prabhupada has given us is to preach, and this comes before anything else. So even for any of the ashrams, the regulative principles that are described, because here in the seventh canto there are so many regulative principles described for all the four ashrams, but these are external. These are meant to be followed as much as is possible or practical. But where it's not practical, then the main principle is to preach and to be Krishna conscious. And this is true for all the four ashrams. So that what we really need to do from these instructions is to extract the principles, the essence of these, wherever there are instructions given about how to live, how to behave, and if we find that these are not practical for this age, like, for example, I can just give one example in the instructions for grihasthas. A grihastha is instructed to, every day before he eats, he should go outside in the road and he should call out three times very loudly, "Is anyone hungry? Is anyone hungry? Is anyone hungry?" Now, I don't know many grihasthas who are actually doing this. But we can also understand that these instructions are really given in a particular kind of society, a particular kind of culture that we may not be living in. I mean, this kind of activity could be observed perhaps in some parts of the world, but we need to adjust according to time, place, and circumstance. But the principle should be understood. The essence of that instruction is that a householder should be charitable, and he should always be prepared to give in charity. He should always be prepared to feed the hungry, to offer food and hospitality to any unexpected guest. So like that, we need to instruct the essence of the principle from the instructions and try to apply that in our own lives. So we could say in the same way regarding this particular verse about the python rat, that although none of us, or especially our sannyasis, observe this rat, but they and all of us need to understand the essence of this instruction of how to actually become detached, internally at least, from material opulence, from material possessions, and not only that, but from as Krishna describes in the Gita, from a devotee should be equipoised in the face of happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, fame and infamy. So that is there for all of us, that we need to learn to become detached, to not be affected by the happiness and distress that comes and goes, because this is according to our karma, that we all have to suffer in this life. And but if we try to, if we're always trying to get happiness and trying to push away the suffering, then we can never become peaceful. There is that one verse, Tute Nukampam Susimikshamano, where it's said that one who accepts whatever suffering comes his way as his karma, and he continues to surrender to the Lord in his heart without protesting, then he actually becomes eligible for liberation. And that is his rightful claim. So this pain and suffering, that's what this material world is about. It's a world of suffering. And when pain comes, we try to push it away, but actually that is coming from Krishna. The pain and the suffering for a devotee is actually a blessing from Krishna. It is a karma. Everyone has to enjoy and suffer according to their karma, according to their allotted destiny. But in the case of devotees, that suffering is not just a karma. It's actually the fire of ordeal. This is described by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta in one of the purports in the Brahma Samhita, that this is the fire of ordeal that a devotee passes through in order to become free from desires, in order to become free from this material world. So we have to become strong to face all this ordeal. And without becoming disturbed, without becoming agitated, it's very difficult. But this is the way that Krishna polishes us, because of all the attachments that we have that are stopping us from moving forward. So Krishna, he very kindly polishes us, and it can be rough sometimes, but it's with love, just like when the mother is cleaning the baby in the bath. The baby may become, or the child, or a child who's been playing in the dirt, the mother may scrub him roughly to clean off the dirt, but that is done with affection. That's because she wants him to become clean, and so that she can embrace him in her lap. So Krishna, he wants to clean us and polish us so that then we can become pure enough for him to embrace us. So this is how we need to see the suffering, to actually find happiness in the suffering, by understanding that it's all good for us. It's a medicine that we have to take, we have to swallow, and in order to become clean and become qualified to serve Krishna. Okay, so I'd better stop there because we're running out of time, and in case anyone has any comment or question.